Luke chapter 4. The message today is the great physician and other physicians. Let me read you three passages from the Gospel of Luke, all relating to our Savior as the great physician and other physicians. He's just read to them in his hometown synagogue from Isaiah 61, and it says in verse 20, "And he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, Today hath this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. And all bare him witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Doubtless you will say unto me this parable, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done at Capernaum, do also here in thine own country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. Now chapter 5. Our Savior is just called Levi or Matthew from the business of collecting taxes. And when Levi follows him immediately, it says in verse 29, And Levi made him a great feast in his house. And there was a great multitude of publicans, that is, tax collectors, and of others that were sitting at meat with them. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured against his disciples, saying, Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And Jesus answering said unto them, They that are whole, or the ones that are healthy, have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And now, in chapter 8, starting at verse 43, And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, who had spent all her living upon physicians, and could not be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately the issue of her blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who is it that touched me? And when all denied, Peter said, and they that were with him, Master, the multitudes press thee and crush thee. And Jesus said, Someone did touch me, for I perceived that power had gone forth from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling, and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people for what cause she touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we sang as children, Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Stories by the wayside, stories by the sea, stories of Jesus, tell them to me. Our Father, we are thankful that we've read from the stories in the life of thy Son, true stories, and we thank you that there was a time in the history of the world when a man came from heaven and was able to do great things among the children of men. We desire to learn about this man today, this great physician, and other physicians as well, So from the portions that we've read, we pray, our God, that thou shalt open them to us and let us understand the need of those in the past and him who met their need, and the need of those in the present and him who is able to meet their need. We thank you for your goodness to us, our God, and your mercy. And we confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you have promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Last week, we spoke about Christ doing his Father's business. And his Father's business last week was learning the Word of God. The portion today is 18 years later. When he was 12 years old, he was concerned about his father's business. And his father's business, when he was 12 years old, was to fill his soul with the Word of God, to learn. But now, the Lord Jesus has completed his course of learning, and instead of learning, he is teaching. He is, in the words of Peter, who twice says, in Acts 2 and in Acts 10, he speaks of our Savior as Jesus of Nazareth, a remarkable thing. We speak about the Lord from heaven. Peter said, Jesus of Nazareth, and it said, he went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And so for 30 years, he prepared to do the Father's business, and now that he is prepared, because he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me too, and then all the things that God had prepared him to do, he empowered him to do by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord Jesus said, the day has this scripture been fulfilled in your ears. So now, he who prepared so long is going to do Father's will in doing good, healing all that are oppressed of the devil, because it says God was with him. Now, three times physicians are mentioned in the portions that I read to you. The first mention of the physician occurs in our Savior's hometown synagogue at Nazareth. He has received the scroll of the prophecy of Isaiah, and he reads from Isaiah 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And that actually happened when our Savior was baptized in the Jordan River. The Spirit of God descended from heaven in the form of a dove, and it abode upon him. And at that time, the Lord Jesus was formally, for his public ministry to Israel, anointed with the Spirit of God and of power. And now he stands up in that power in the synagogue, and he says, the scripture is fulfilled today in your ears. He spoke, and his speech was of such a nature that they marveled at the words of grace that proceeded out of his lips. But instead of rejoicing and saying, why, God hath sent us a great prophet, they said to one another, why, this is Joseph's son. We know who this man is. He's been living among us for some 30 years. And now he comes home and he speaks in a way that none of us can speak. Why, this man, where did he get all of this ability? And the Lord Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, said this. He said, doubtless you will speak unto me this parable. Physician, heal thyself. The things that we've heard that you did in Capernaum, do thou here in Nazareth among your own people. And so the first people that call Jesus a physician are not those that are dependent upon him and respectful of him, but those in his own hometown congregation, and they say this, physician, heal yourself for this reason. This physician from Nazareth had been in Capernaum performing great miracles, and now he's come home, and evidently no miracles have been performed. And so they say to him, charity begins at home. What you did in Capernaum, do here among your own people. Physician, heal yourself. I take it that way for this reason. The Lord Jesus had no disease of which to be healed. There was nothing imperfect in our Savior that needed attending to, unless it was something like this. And this is what makes us marvel at the physician I'm telling you about today, that he worked like no other physician did, and he never did anything to heal himself. Because he was poor, he had not where to lay his head, he was hungry, but this physician who had that power from God to relieve all of these needs in his life never used the power of God to alleviate any need that was in his life. Think. Here are 5,000 people and they are hungry. And the Lord from heaven takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes and he feeds them all and there is abundance left over. But our Savior was hungry and he looked on a fig tree to see if he could find anything to eat. The Lord Jesus, who in weakness and in sickness healed others, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane sweating as it were great drops of blood, an angel came from heaven and strengthened him. And so whenever there was any weakness or hunger, when there was any need for where to lay his head, our Lord Jesus never miraculously came to his own assistance. And so if they said to him, physician, heal thyself, this physician never healed himself. I'm thinking this, that if needs existed in my life, I would quote that proverb, charity begins at home. It begins with me. But the Lord Jesus never wrought his own power upon himself. And so they are telling him to act in a way that he never would act. And what they said at the beginning of his ministry, they said also at the end of his ministry. This is what they said when he was on the cross. He saved others. Himself he cannot save. That is truth. The thief on the cross with him cast this in his teeth. Are you not the Messiah? Save thyself and us. And so, physician, heal thyself. It was impossible for Jesus to heal himself. Because if he healed himself, and if he used his miraculous power to change any of the will of God for his life, then the will of God would not have been done in his life. And that is the difference between you and me and all other men. Whatever God has given to us, it is for our own good, we say. But the Lord Jesus said, no, it is for the good of others. That was the first temptation that was given to Christ. He had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry. And Satan came and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones be turned into bread. And the Lord Jesus said, no. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He was hungry, and as he did feed the hungry with the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, the miracle would have been of no consequence to the Savior. But he would not use his power. The physician would not heal himself. Not in creating a mansion in which to abide at night, not food to feed himself, and not strength when he was weary. He did not create miraculously a stream of water as in the Old Testament when that rock was smitten and abundance of water came out. But sitting at Jacob's well, he said to the woman, he said, give me the drink. And from the portion that we read, we never find that he received that water. And so they are challenging him, physician, heal yourself. But they were asking him to do something that he never did in his entire life. He was dependent upon his father, and he cast himself upon his father. And so they say, physician, heal thyself. What we've heard done elsewhere, do thou here among your own people. But the Lord Jesus gave them a parable, not this time of his own, but again of someone else. The first parable was, and they gave it to him, physician, heal thyself. That was a known parable. And this one, he said, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country. And so our Savior uses two parables. And then, the thing that they ask, he shows from the Old Testament that what he is doing had a precedent in the other miracle workers in the Old Testament. He said there were many lepers in Israel, but only one of them was healed, Naaman, the leper, a Syrian, a foreigner. You see, they said, physician, heal yourself. And he said, why, in the Old Testament, why, here is Naaman the Syrian, a leper, and yet he's not of Israel. And he says, there were many widows in Israel, and yet there was only one widow to whom the prophet was sent and blessed her. And he gave them illustrations from their own scriptures that the physician did not heal himself. And when they heard the word of God, they hated him and would have put him to death. And this has been the controversy concerning Christ his whole life long, that everything that a normal physician would do, he did not do, and they were unable to comprehend his ways. His own brethren said in John chapter 7, nobody who wants to be recognized stays in obscurity. Go up to the feast and manifest yourself. And he said, you go to the feast. I go not to the feast. My hour is not yet come. Who ever heard of such a thing? One who wants to be made known, but does nothing to advertise himself. And so this physician, of whom we read today, is one who cannot be comprehended. And yet, what is incomprehensible is because he never did anything without the direction of the Father. His Father's will is not what you and I would think, but it was what he learned day by day from his Father. I say day by day because in Isaiah 50 we read these words. It says, the Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as those that are taught. Think of that. Here is the Savior, and morning by morning, the Father would waken his ear and say, son, this is what is to be done today. And the Lord Jesus would say, yes. And so for that reason, here are those in the town that are listening to the Lord Jesus, and they were expecting him to rise early in the morning and speak to the people, but our Savior had gone out into the wilderness, and he was alone praying to his Father, and they had to come and find him. And so our Savior is inscrutable. You cannot comprehend this physician, and they're expecting this physician to be like all physicians, but there is no other physician like him. And yet, even though his own people rejected him, even though his nation as a whole, he came unto his own and his own received him not, yet he is the great physician. And how great a physician was he? It says this concerning Melchizedek. Now consider how great this man was, to whom Abraham, our father, gave a tenth of all. And so they are speaking of Melchizedek. But there is a greater than Melchizedek in their midst. And there is a physician, the likes of whom there was never another physician. And his greatness is for this reason. Can you tell me any earthly physician who, in all the years of his service, never had a patient that he could not heal? Can you tell me one? A patient came and he could not diagnose that patient? You say, why, many times the diagnosis has been wrong. And many times a patient comes, and the sad thing is this, that the physician has to say, There is no known remedy for your disease. And the greatness of this physician is that whatever sick person came to him, in body or in soul, or troubled by demons, the Lord Jesus never sent them to away. If you were waiting for referrals, if you were a physician from the Lord Jesus Christ, you would starve to death, because he never sent a patient to another physician. It was unnecessary, because he had the power of God, and he was able to heal them all. If you ask me about the greatness of this physician, I could tell you specifically how many of his miracles are recorded in the Bible. 35. But there are only 35 that are recorded, because he performed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miracles that are not recorded. It says over and over again that when the Lord Jesus was in the midst of the people, they brought all their sick unto him. And it says, Jesus healed them all. The multitudes came to him. He healed them all. There was never one that the Lord Jesus did not heal. And so that is his greatness, that there has never been a challenge in the heart of man, in his body, or in his soul, that this great physician was not able to meet. And that is why Jesus Christ should be called the great physician. And when others had been able to do nothing for this man that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, the Lord Jesus Christ, with a touch, healed him. And they marveled, and they said this concerning Christ, he hath done all things well. He maketh the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. And so that is the testimony of those to whom Christ was a stranger. No prophet has honor, is acceptable in his own country, in his own household. But when he went away, they said, this man has done all things well. So if there were those who were deaf, they left hearing. If there were those who were dumb, they left speaking. And if there were those who were diseased and were infirm, they left with strength from the presence of Christ, because he was the great physician. And not only that, but there were those whom Christ healed that had troubled souls as well as troubled bodies. And the Lord Jesus at the same time showed that he was not only a psychiatrist, but he was also a physician, one that was able to work on body as well as mind and soul. Because this man that was paralyzed had four friends that were determined to bring him and get him into the presence of Jesus. And they opened up the roof and let him down in the presence of the Savior. And the Savior looked upon him and he said, son, your sins are forgiven. And they said, this is blasphemy. No one can forgive sins but God. And the Lord Jesus said, with such simplicity, he said, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, he says to the sick of the palsy, take up your bed and walk. And he did. And at one moment, the Lord Jesus showed that he could forgive the troubled, sinful soul, and he could also heal the paralyzed body. And that is why Jesus is the great physician. Now, next we find this, that our Savior, in his seeking men to serve God, sought out strange ones, ones who were hated of the people, like Matthew, the tax collector. I'm thinking, if God is going to give me 12 apostles with which to evangelize the world, I'm sure of this, I would not find someone that is hated of the nation of Israel, and I would not choose a Judas Iscariot. But he was directed the Father to choose these two. And in the portion I read to you, in the second chapter, Luke 5, Levi receives an invitation from Christ. He says, follow me. And it says, Levi arose and left all and followed him. And then to show his gratitude, taking such a one as he into his company, he made a great feast for him. And all of his friends, and if the nation of Israel would not have you, all of these righteous, religious Israelites would not have you, a man is going to find some kind of friend. And so he went out and found other tax collectors that were hated of Israel, sinners, outcasts, those that had been excommunicated. And he said, here is a man that chose me to be one of his apostles. I'm going to have a great feast in his honor, and I want you to come. And so his house was filled with a congregation of sinners, the likes of which Israel had never seen. And the Lord Jesus is eating and drinking with them. He's in the midst of them. And when the Pharisees see this, they go to his disciples and say, why does your master eat and drink with publicans and sinners? And the Lord Jesus, thank God for this. There are questions that are asked concerning him you are not able to answer. But the Lord Jesus has a ready answer, because I told you he had been preparing for 30 years. And so when they say, why is he eating with these outcasts? The Lord Jesus says this. He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. Can anybody deny that? You say no. And then he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. He said, I came from heaven to save sinners. And he said, this place is filled with sinners. That is what I want. And so often, this is what has been sad among the assemblies, that I've heard people pray, if conceivably, O God, there might be one sinner in our midst. You see, the only ones we can get to come out and listen to us are those that are already saved. And so they pray such a prayer. But praise God, if one sinner were to get saved and fill this auditorium with other sinners like himself, I would rejoice. But some religious people, and I know one dear brother in Christ that left an assembly because of that very reason. He was one who went to the highways and hedges, and he was getting all of these sinners and publicans and outcasts, and he wanted to bring them to this assembly, and the assembly objected. Isn't that remarkable? What is your mission on earth? To save sinners. And this man was bringing in more sinners than they'd ever had before, but the assembly said, that's not the kind of sinner we want. We want the respectable kind of sinner for you to bring in, you see. And so it made him so uncomfortable doing what God directed him to do that he went elsewhere. And the assemblies lost an excellent family when this man went away. And so here is Matthew, and he brings in all his sinner friends, and I pray to God that such a thing like that would happen in Goldsboro, that one sinner would get saved and he would fill the auditorium in Goldsboro with sinners, or with any kind for that matter. And so you make it a matter of prayer. And this is what happens. And the Lord Jesus says, here is a wonderful opportunity now for me, the physician from heaven, to heal all of these sick sinners who are here. Think of the words in the answer that Christ gave, how irrefutable they are. He said this, they that are well have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. The only time I ever go to a physician is for a yearly checkup, or if you are sick, you go. But if you've had your checkup and you are well, how many of you would say, well, I just like to go to a physician, and so I'm going to make an appointment every week, and I'm going in every week. Who would ever do such a thing? No one. Why? Because they that are whole, that are well, have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And the Lord Jesus said, this house is filled with sick people, filled with sinners who need their sins forgiven. And I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Now, it could be this. It could be that the Lord Jesus is speaking literally and saying, I did not come to call you who have already been called and have responded, and you are saved, you are righteous. I didn't come to call you again. You've already been called. You've been saved. Now, I came to call those that were like you were at one time, and to come and be healed. But I take it this way, that the Lord Jesus was speaking ironically, as in the 19:9. He said that heaven rejoices more over one sinner that repented than 99 just men who need no repentance. And the world is filled with such people. There are those who go to all the denominations here in Durham. And if you went and said, do you need to be saved? They would say, how dare you speak to me in such a way? I've been baptized. I go every Sunday. I'm on the board of deacons. And I would ask again, have you been saved? And they would be indignant and not answer that question. If someone asked me, are you saved? I would say, yes, thank God. I've been saved since March the 27th, 1946. But I would not become indignant. Why? Because that question was asked me at that time in San Pedro, California. I was with some Navy boys and we were having a Bible study. And they asked me, are you a Christian? And I said, yes. They said, when were you born again? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And they looked at one another and said, he's lost. They understood. And so I was a righteous person who needed no forgiveness. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking to them ironically and saying, why, these people, why, they are sinners. They need a physician. He said, you who are whole, you who are self-righteous in your own eyes, why, you need no physician. And so that is what Jesus Christ tells us now his mission consists of. His mission was not only learning the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, but he came to save sinners. Think of that. Why would God send someone from heaven to do something that was unnecessary to be done? How many people will confess that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? There is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Why would God send his Son from heaven if those things were not true? But if they are true, that is the very reason that Jesus Christ was sent from heaven. And he said, I came not to call the righteous. If he came to call the righteous, there's not one of you who could be saved. But he came to call sinners to repentance. And therefore, the only one qualified to go to this position is one who confesses that I am undone. Woe is me. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. And then you come to Christ and tell him that, and he will say, I am just the physician that you need, because he is the great physician, and he never sent a man away. Think of this. Here is Zacchaeus up the sycamore tree, and the people would cast him out. But the Lord Jesus said, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And I think of that verse that fills the heart with joy and hope. The Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. I told you of that assembly that did not want those that the Father would send to Christ, and they would cast them out. But the Lord Jesus said, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I shall in no wise cast out. That one that in the temple smote upon his breast and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That was the kind that Jesus Christ came to earth to save. And if that is so, then Jesus Christ will save me. The trouble with you is this. It's not your sinfulness that keeps you from being saved. It is your self-righteousness that keeps you from being saved. It is the fact that you will not come to Jesus Christ and lay bare your heart. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. When the light of God's convicting spirit fills your soul, acknowledge that you are everything that you know you are. And then Jesus Christ is ready to save you. Jesus Christ is the great physician. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, to call sinners to repentance. And Jesus Christ came into the world to save you. This is the physician that you should visit.